Good morning, everybody. What's going on? This is the Shukri Wright Show on, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I am your host, Shukri Wright. This is the first ever show where we're talking about all things Boston sports. It is a tremendous honor and privilege to be here with you guys this morning talking the latest happenings in Boston sports, and I couldn't be more excited to be sitting here talking about, you know, anything relates to sports. You know, sports is my passion, whether if it's the Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, and, you know, being in a tremendous city like Boston in a region where the success of these teams have certainly elevated, its profile, and especially when it comes to the overall prospects of a team winning a championship every single season. And you know, to start things off, let me introduce all of you to myself. I am a lifelong sports fan, and I am originally from New York, born and raised. I relocated here to Boston about two and a half years ago, got myself pretty acclimated to the city and the region, have gotten quite used to and well acclimated to the sports scene here. And frankly, the one thing that's really impressed me most about Boston in particular is, and especially New England, is the passion of the fans. You know, I really have to give Boston a great deal of credit where the loyalty runs very deep in the city. Whether if a team is in first place, last place, or somewhere meddling in the middle, doesn't matter. What's most impressive about this is that no matter what happens, fans still show up. They're knowledgeable of their teams, and they are very, very, very passionate when it comes to the performance of their teams. And that's the thing that you love about being in a city like this. And I personally cannot wait to have the opportunity to talk to you, the fan, through the duration of the show, talking about all things Boston sports. You can, in fact, call into the show. The number is 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. Now, I want to share with you my opening take in terms of the latest happening, or what's happening currently in Boston in terms of the sports scene. I want to start off by saying this, and I want to get into this a bit more, especially as we progress through this first segment. I want to start off by saying the following. The Red Sox right now, currently, if we're being completely honest, have had quite a first half, and it's not necessarily in a good way. We will continue in just a moment after we go and do a read of a PSA. Although physical activities can provide a more vigorous workout, walking is easy, requires no special equipment, and is good exercise for most adults. In urban areas, walking can be an excellent alternative to driving or even taking public transportation. For example, it's just a little over 2.5 miles from the Tufts campus in Medford to Harvard Square in Cambridge, a distance that can be walked in about 45 minutes by a healthy adult. Walking can get you fresh air, exercise, burn calories, save you money, and with all the inattentive and otherwise impaired drivers on the road, it's safer than riding a bike. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. You are listening to WMFO in Medford, live to the Shukri Wright Show, coming to you live on a Saturday morning. Again, you can call into the show at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. Now, the first thing I want to talk about this morning is what's going on with the Red Sox this season? You know, this first half has certainly raised quite a bit of eyebrow, especially for a Red Sox team that's currently 11 games out of first place as we enter Saturday. And you would think a 47-41 record is impressive. And quite frankly, it's a winning record. Don't get me wrong. Impressive, yes. However, if we're being honest, considering that this team was supposed to be making a run in hopes of potentially repeating as World Series champions, they have certainly, by all means, they have gone off to a slow start and they've never really recovered. And honestly, I just think that if you're Dave Dombrowski, if you're Red Sox ownership, you have to really ask yourself the following question. What is it with this team that you can fix? Or should I say, do you want to fix? Because everything that I've heard up to this point in regards to the Red Sox, I'm not pleased. And I don't think Red Sox fans should be pleased at all whatsoever. You know, the one thing that I will say is this. This was a team that won 108 games last year, went on to win 11 more in the postseason, combined 119 wins. Quite frankly, quite remarkable. It is. No questions asked. But the problem is that when you have a weakness on your team that you've known about for the last year, and that has been a glaring weakness, but somehow, some way, thanks to great work by your starters in the bullpen last year in October in route to a World Series championship, you thought you'd be able to get away with it again this season. Quite frankly, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. And my thought on this team so far in the first half, especially now that we are now 86 games into the season, this team has been a disappointment. No questions asked about it. There are so many things that I find that is maddening about the Red Sox in particular, especially with this team, is I don't see it the same level of intensity, the same level of desperation, the same level of will and drive to do the little things that matter. You know, I haven't seen it this season. And albeit the Red Sox did win last night, they beat the Tigers in the first game of a 3-game set, 9-6. The issue still remains. They're 11 games out of first place. We are about to enter the All-Star break, and you're 11 games out of first place. So my question to you, Red Sox Nation, is this. What exactly would you say is the number one factor as to why this team is 11 games out of first place? And what needs to happen in the second half of the season in order for that to turn around? Because right now, I just don't think this team is good enough to make the postseason. I don't. And I'm gonna share with you a few reasons why. Number one, the pitching is a problem. One of the most remarkable things about last year's Red Sox team was that they were able to get quality pitching throughout the season, even from Chris Sale, although second half of last season he was hampered by arm issues and health issues, he somehow was still able to contribute, albeit in a smaller role in the postseason. But quite frankly, David Price was a guy who won you the World Series last year. And yes, Eduardo Rodriguez did his part. Yes, Nathan Eovaldi was absolutely phenomenal. But in large part, this season, your best pitcher has been David Price. And it's not even close. And what's frustrating about this is that when Nathan Eovaldi returns, you're going to be using what's your fourth starter as your closer. What does that tell you? What does that honestly tell you about this team moving forward, especially into the second half, where it sounds like the Red Sox are not going to be looking to make any type of big moves come the trade deadline on July 31st. And that's really concerning. It's concerning on so many levels. When you look at a team and you look at the roster that essentially brought back, 85, 90% of its roster from last year's World Series championship team. And I just think that looking ahead, and especially looking ahead to the second half of the season, where if you're talking about this Red Sox team and its prospects of being able to make a run for the postseason, right now, I don't see them winning the division. I don't see them catching the Yankees, who right now have the best record in the American League at 57-29. So your best bet is the wild card. And as it currently states this morning, the Red Sox are 2 games behind Cleveland for that last wild card spot. Tampa Bay right now has the number one seed for the wild card game. Cleveland is second. So if you were to tell me that the Red Sox still have a chance to compete for the postseason, sure, they do. No question. Based on technicality and as well as where they are in the standings. But here's the truth. The Red Sox should be better than what they are. They should be better than what they've demonstrated on the field thus far this season. But the harsh reality is that they're not. So you got to wonder why. Is it just the fact that they have had a very mediocre bullpen? Or does issues run a bit more deeper than just the lack of a bullpen for the Red Sox in 2019? We'll talk about it furthermore after this music break. But also, when we return, I want to talk furthermore about why the Red Sox are where they are, but also what can they do at the trade deadline? Options? Because quite frankly, if you're Dave Dombrowski, if you're John Herring, shame on you. Shame on you. This all falls back to the front office at this point. And the thing that's most disappointing about this season for the Red Sox, again, although they're 2 games out of the second wild card spot, this is not where they thought they would be come the All-Star break, quite frankly. So, what are you going to do? You can't cry over spilled milk. What you can do is turn the page, hope that everything begins to fall into place for this team in the second half of the season. So for right now, if you're the Red Sox right, entering the All-Star break, it's do or die time. They got to start winning series. They got to start especially winning their games at home, where they have been absolutely disappointing in the first half at home. We will be right back after this music break.
Trying to have a good time, 'cause I'm good now, you ain't mine. Nah, 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 nah. Don't call me up when you're looking at my photos. Getting hot, losing control. You want me more, now I let go. Nah, 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 nah. I'm over you. And I Don't call me up, I'm going out tonight. Feeling good now you're out of my life. Don't wanna talk about us, gotta leave it behind. One drink and you're out of my mind. Nah, nah, take it up. Baby, I'm on the high and you're alone, going out of your mind. But I'm here up in the club and I don't wanna talk. So don't call me up, cause I'm here looking fine, babe. And I got eyes looking my way, and everybody's on my vibe, babe. Nah, 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 nah. Don't call me up. My friend said you were a bad man. I should've listened to the back then. And now you're tryna hit me up again. Nah, 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 nah. I'm over you and I don't need your lies no more. Cause the truth is without you, boy, I'm stronger. And I know you said that I'd change up a cold heart, but it was your game that left scars. Ooh, I'm over you. Don't call me up.
You will always have my heart.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. You can call into the show at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. We're going to continue talking about the Red Sox. And in addition to what I was saying in the first segment, one of the things about this year's Red Sox team that really is truly puzzling is their home record. Now, you would ask, why is the home record so important? Because one of the things that I have noticed about this year's team, and even last year's team, dare I ask, is that this year's team is under 500 at home, which is, quite frankly, scary. Quite scary. Because, you know, one thing that I've noticed in particular is that they are underwhelmingly frustrating to watch, especially when you know that they have the talent, especially with guys like J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers, and the list goes on and on and on. A year ago today, the Red Sox, they were actually at home, their record, 28-12 through 40 games at home a year ago today. Let's bring it back to present day, shall we? The Red Sox home record this morning, 20-22. What does that matter in the grand scheme of things? Actually, it does. And I'm going to tell you why. The Red Sox, if they were at least 5 games over at home, maybe, just maybe, this would be an entirely different conversation we're having this morning. As part of the frustration with this team this year, which I personally don't understand, is how is it that they're pitching? It's gone from bad to worse. We're going to go and have a look at this from a deeper perspective. Now, last October, when they won the World Series, you had guys like Ryan Brazier in the bullpen, Matt Barnes, and two pitchers who pitched out of the bullpen who, at times, were absolutely instrumental in the Red Sox march to World Series championship. And that is David Price, because he did pitch out of the bullpen in the World Series once. And as well as Nathan Eovaldi. I was a firm believer in this last season that the Red Sox, they needed to go out and get an arm. Get a bullpen arm. Even with Craig Kimbrell, as shaky as he was, even with Joe Kelly, as erratic as he may have been at times, you had two legitimate power arms in that bullpen. And in this season, those arms are gone. Craig Kimbrell, now with the Chicago Cubs, for those that haven't heard. Joe Kelly, now with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So you have to begin to back and ask the question. You had two high-quality arms leave in the offseason. One of them, in which that you decided not, actually both of them, you decided not to bring back. You let Joe Kelly walk in free agency. Craig Kimbrell, you decided that you weren't going to bring him back. Fine. But the ultimate factor is, if you have an offside in the bullpen, you would think you would have to replace it, right? You have to add arms. Am I right or am I wrong? But Dave Dombrowski did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And what's incredibly maddening about this in particular is this. You now are turning to one of your guys who is supposed to be your starter. And when he returns from the injury list, he's going to be your closer. What does that tell you? Utter desperation, because John Henry lacks the absolute cojones to actually say, you know what? Screw the luxury tax. Go and get quality arms with that bullpen. Maybe a starter. A middle starter that's going to give you depth. Because let's face it, Chris Sale, he's not the same Chris Sale that you saw in 2017. Heck, even in the first half of 2018. And it's absolutely astonishing, if you ask me, that you have a guy who you signed to, what, $145 million contract for the next 5 years, who right now is not even your ace. What does that tell you? That says an awful lot. That's why I feel that if you are the Red Sox, you've got to be thinking to yourself right now, frankly, very frankly, was this the right decision? Or were we better off waiting until the offseason to talk extension then? See if Chris Sale can actually pitch through an entire season healthy, which, by the way, he has yet to have done in the first two full seasons as a member of the Red Sox, 2017 and 2018. I mean, wow. I cannot even begin to just think about the scary possibility that the Red Sox may not be getting the best version of Chris Sale for the remainder of this contract. Feel free to give me your thoughts at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. That's terrifying. That's absolutely terrifying to think that, is this the new reality for the Red Sox? That the guy that you signed to a contract extension, which I think was out of fear, not practicality, fear. What do you mean it was out of fear, Shoe Cree? It was out of fear because they didn't want to repeat the same mistake that they made with John Lester in 2014. That's what it was. Think about this now. The year after the Red Sox won the World Series in 2013, the Red Sox had an opportunity to offer Lester a long-term deal. At that point, he already has proven his worth as the ace of your staff at that time. What do? You trade him to the Oakland Athletics at the trade deadline in 2014. And they thought to themselves, uh-oh, we can't make that same mistake again with Chris Sale. So we're going to offer him all this money, 5 years, $145 million, and let's just say and hope, he's going to be the same Chris Sale that we got when we acquired him from Chicago in December 2016 for Yoan Moncada. But right now, in this entire season up to this point, the pitching for the Red Sox is a legitimate concern. It's a legitimate concern to the point where the question asks, what can you do to fix it? Internal options? They're not working out. And I hate to break it to you, John Henry, your internal options are now better than external options at this point. So what do you have to lose? What do you honestly have to lose by saying, you know what? Take a look at the potential market for what's going to be available at the trade deadline. Make a move. You're not out of it. You're not out of contending for a playoff spot. Yes, you're two games behind Cleveland. But here's the ugly truth. Do you really want to be playing in that wild card game? Honestly, be honest with yourself. Red Sox Nation, although that might be, just might be, the best option that you got, do you really want to see the Red Sox play in a wild card game where your postseason can end in one game before you really can get the chance to truly defend your World Series title? Is that what you honestly want? I don't think so. I absolutely don't think so. To go even further, and I'm gonna go deeper into this. I'm not impressed with a lot of what Alex Cora has done during the season, and frankly, I'm a firm believer in the following: your identity of your team is a reflection of the attitude of the manager. Your identity of your team. I'm going to say this again. Listen carefully. Your identity of your team is a reflection of your manager. And that applies in baseball, especially across the board in all professional sports. And what Alex Cora, I honestly felt and saw a guy who was cocky, arrogant, and dare I say, even cavalier. Because this man feel as if that I got it all figured out. We won 108 games, plus 11 more in the postseason, won the World Series. Piece of cake. No big deal. This will be quite easy. No problem. We don't need to address the issues that we have. We don't need to worry about Chris Sale. He'll be fine. No big deal, right? Unfortunately, baseball is the one sport where you play every game, 162 games a year. That will truly kick you in the jimmies if you're not careful and you don't check your ego at the door. And I feel that Alex Cora right now is paying a hefty price. He's paying a hefty price for not coming to grips with the reality that this team faced a lot sooner. Because right now, if you're going to tell me that your bullpen, consisting of guys like Marcus Walden, Brandon Workman, Stephen Wright, Colton Brewer, Ryan Brazier, Matt Barnes, Heath Hembree, Josh Taylor, that they're going to be good enough to get you to the postseason? And dare I say, repeat as World Series title, as a World Series champion? I hate to break it to you, but you are going to be in for an absolute rude awakening. You are. And that's the truth. 855-915-9636. Feel free to call in, offer your thoughts, as we're going to take a music break. But coming up next, does Dave Dombrowski deserve all the blame for what's going on with this roster and his lack of care to want to improve this bullpen and even the pitching staff, and to even take it a step further, the money that he has to still pay to a couple of guys who are not even on your roster, that's dead money. And why that is having quite an effect on this team, and even financially moving forward, that we will talk about when we return after this.
Say we don't make a move. I think tonight I wanna slow it down and go, but you like, turn up. Check it out, all your clothes, cause I just adore ya. Make me one more time and more, yeah. Break it down, gotta toss the porter. Oh, I wish I could freeze this moment right here next to you. If you're asking me, then I say we don't make a move. I think tonight I wanna slow it down and go with you.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. You can call into the show at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. We're going to continue to talk about the Red Sox. To wrap up this first hour of the show, what's interesting about baseball is that baseball doesn't have a salary cap. There's no salary cap in regards to how much you can spend for a team. There's no limit as to how you can flex your financial strength. But signing wrong guys to long-term deals could quite frankly have a damaging impact for any organization. But especially the Red Sox. The Red Sox right now have the highest payroll in the major leagues. Right now, they do. $240 million payroll. But for years, that distinction belonged to the New York Yankees. That hasn't been the case, actually, for a little while now. But you would wonder, as to why exactly the Red Sox are in the financial bind that they're in. Here's your answer. The Red Sox owe a ton of money to two guys who are no longer on their roster. I'm going to absolutely ring out two names that should ring a bell. That absolutely should. You remember guys like Pablo Sandoval and Rosny Castillo? It's been a while since you heard those two names, right? You remember Rosny Castillo, the Cuban prospect and player the Red Sox signed a while back? I want to remind you guys of something. Former Red Sox general manager Ben Cherington signed him in 2014 to a 7-year, $72.5 million contract. He hasn't played in the major league since 2016. In his career so far, he's only played, 99 games? That's it. He hasn't, and the Red Sox is still paying him money. And he's in the minor leagues. What does that tell you? Like, honestly, what does that honestly tell you? That tells you an awful lot. Oh, by the way, Pablo Sandoval is not out of the woods. I'm just treading calmly right now because it's absolutely amazing how two men who are no longer on your team, let alone on your roster, somehow, some way, is having a negative impact on how you move ahead in terms of making deals. So supposedly, according to John Henry, Sandoval. You remember he was signed to a 5-year deal? $95 million. You wanna know what's absolutely amazing about this? Is that when they designated him to assignment in the summer of 2017, they did that knowing that they still owe him $49 million in guaranteed salary. $49 million. So let's do the math here. And now, excuse me if I'm a little inaccurate, but let's do the math here. Sandoval is basically still owed $49 million. He's now currently with the San Francisco Giants, by the way. He was owed $49 million. Now, let's add on to the salary that Castillo is going to be paid this season and next season. Castillo is going to be paid $11 million this season in 2019. And, by the way, $13.5 million. So that's $24.5 million for the next two seasons for a guy who's not even on your Major League roster. Now, what amazes me is this. You have a 30-year-old player in your minor league system whom everybody seemingly has forgotten, whose money, to an extent, impacts the Red Sox payroll, and it shouldn't even be the case. Not even because that he's not on the major league roster, but because if we're gonna take Dombrowski and John Henry and the Red Sox ownership brass at their word, which, by the way, I am not covering up their excuses, that you owe basically these two men combined $74.5 million? For they're not, and what's even more astonishing in all of this is, what on earth are the Red Sox doing in terms of financial flexibility, in terms of signing guys to bad contracts? And honestly, I'm going to go on a limb and say this straight up. Chris Sale's contract is a bad contract. It's a bad contract financially. Yeah, I said it. Chris Sale's contract with the Red Sox currently, that he signed a 5-year deal, $145 million contract, is a bad contract for the Red Sox long term. And I'm going to tell you why. I said earlier in this show that